Glory to God. Well, welcome this morning to Victory Life Family Church. You may greet one another. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to those of you watching. If it's your first time hearing about us, our website is vlfc.church, and there you can find out more about us, our sermons, video, audio, sermon notes. Praise God. We are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. And Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional is on our website. The link to that is every morning on Facebook, as well as our website every day. You could also subscribe to it to get the newsletter and have that go in every morning to your inbox. I just want to remind you, Sunday's doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10. Come early. We have our coffee bar back there and just a time of fellowship. And so we invite you to that as well. This Wednesday, we're having a fellowship dinner. This Wednesday. So that is from 6 to 7:30. Say 6 o'clock. We start eating pretty quick after that. So you don't want to be late, but we invite you and invite a friend. Come Wednesday night. We're looking forward to it. And so again, that's 6 o'clock to 7:30 this Wednesday night. There's a sign up sheet at the door over there if you want to sign up to bring something as well. And so we're going to have a nice time of fellowship this coming Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. This Friday, we will not be having Friday prayer here. And so I just repeat, no Friday prayer here this Friday. So just keep that on your calendar. For volunteers, we currently have openings for greeter, the coffee station back there, if you want to oversee that, ushers, video productions, children and youth, ministry, and our worship team. And so come see us if you're interested in one of those. And we thank you for those of you who have volunteered, who are pouring out, and God is so good. He's faithful. We appreciate your bright, shining, smiley faces. Amen. And so we invite you to learn more about us also online. You can scan the QR code to learn about our vision. We've been talking about this lately. We're believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth, with rooms for prayer groups, connect group, nursery, classrooms, children's ministry, young adults, our fellowship hall, which includes the kitchen. We have been expanding in our vision in the children's classroom as we've been in there lately. You know, we have on there a stage. And I talked about this, I believe it was Wednesday night, but we want the children to have the opportunity to minister as well. And they are in there. We're laying hands on one another, praying in there. The Lord is good, you know, and we want them to have their worship team and to be able to get up and share some message and those things. And so we also want to do our drama skits or those kinds of things as well, and have our own academy, a kitchen in there. And so we also talked about a playground that's on our vision for the children as well. And we want to see all of these things. And so those are things that we have in our hearts for the vision that is coming forth. So believe for it, release your faith with us, and watch God do what He can do in your faith projects at home, because we're seeing that as well in our household. And so there you can, when we're given to this, just write building fund on your offering envelope or the drop down on the website there. It's general fund or building fund for that as well. And so today for the offering message, I've been doing this while it's been prosperity month for Pastor Rodney's daily devotional. Today is actually day 200 of devotionals that he's written. So that's so awesome. It's so powerful. And so today is titled, and I read this, I don't know how many times this morning, "Your harvest is guaranteed." Praise God. How many of you have a guarantee harvest coming to your house? Amen. We're going to say today. Today is the day. So Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 is what this is based off of. Galatians 6 verse 7. Your harvest is guaranteed. Galatians 6, 7 says, and I'm going to read through this devotional this morning. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap in return." I'm going to read that one more time. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, church. Amen. We speak light. God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap in return. Sowing and reaping is not a principle, it is a law. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 makes it unmistakably clear. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Not could, not hopefully, will. You will reap. God established this spiritual law and he enforces it. No seed goes unnoticed. No act of faith goes ignored. No obedience goes unrewarded. The enemy wants you to believe your sowing is insignificant or ineffective, but scripture declares the opposite. Your harvest is guaranteed. God himself stands behind the law of seed time and harvest. To say your harvest is guaranteed means you stop questioning whether your seed worked. You stop wondering if you missed your moment. You stop assuming your seed disappeared into the ground. Seed does not vanish. It grows. It multiplies. It produces. The soil of God's kingdom is perfect soil. When you sow in faith, you activate a divine cycle that cannot be broken. You may not see the process, but you will see the result. Harvest is not random. It is the predictable outcome of a spiritual law God himself established. This truth breaks the lie that sowing is risky or uncertain. Many believers hesitate to sow because they fear loss or delay. But sowing is not gambling. It is partnering with God's system. The world's economy fluctuates, but God's law of sowing and reaping is constant. The enemy wants you to believe your seed is too small, too late, or insignificant. But God says your seed, every seed, carries harvest within it. The moment you sow, your future begins to shift. Let me say that again. The moment you sow, your future begins to shift. The moment you release, God begins to multiply. The moment you plant, harvest becomes inevitable. Living this way produces confidence and endurance. You stop sowing emotionally and start sowing intentionally. You stop letting circumstances dictate your generosity and start letting faith lead your decisions. You stop expecting disappointment and start expecting harvest. When you believe your harvest is guaranteed, you sow with joy. You wait with expectation. You speak with confidence. You live with the awareness that God is faithful to his word and faithful to his seed, to your seed. Today is about embracing the truth that sowing and reaping is a spiritual law that governs the kingdom, and spiritual law guarantees spiritual results. Your seed is working, your harvest is coming, your future is already responding to the seeds that have been sowed. And here's the confession. Let's say this together. My harvest is guaranteed. Whatever I sow in faith, I will reap in joy because God is faithful to his word. Praise God. I'm going to pray this over us today. Father, we thank you for the certainty of the harvest you built into your kingdom. We trust your faithfulness as we sow, knowing you bring every seed to its appointed return. And we pray this over each and every one, Father, in the name of Jesus today. We pray and declare debt freedom. We thank you, you're meeting every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you for new beginnings, gifts, surprises that you have in store for us in this household this week. This week, hallelujah, be expecting gifts from your heavenly Father because he is good and he has good gifts for each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. And then the closing charge, stand in confidence today. Your seed is working and your harvest is guaranteed. Wow. Praise God for that. And so thank you for that, Pastor Rodney. And so this morning, let's go ahead and even say our offering confessions together. Because when I go back and hear this service, I like saying it along with, because something's happening when we're speaking these out. Our words are containers. They're going somewhere to happen. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, amen. So praise God. If you're giving by cash or credit card, please completely fill out the offering envelope and sign the signature line. If you're giving by check this morning, please write it to VLFC. And as you sow online, the drop-down information is on your screen, and you may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you all here today. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Paula, for that word this morning. 200 wow. devotionals.
Thank you, Dad.
Daily. Every day, 7 days a week. Praise God. That's awesome. Only 165 to go. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Great grace. Great grace. Great grace. I'm so thankful to be able to do this. And right along with that, we're actually also in the middle of writing the book on this subject that we've been teaching on, the authority of the believer. You know, and so I just, you know, thankful that the Lord, you know, has prompted me to do this, you know, in addition. So right now we're writing two books. We have adopted a new baby girl, and you know, this year, I was just thinking about over this year, it's like just the grace of God, you know, to be able to do these things and to, you know, seemingly stay on top of it. Now, that being said, I have, you know, burned many a candle on both ends, you know, and praise God, but it's all right. Amen. I'm just thankful to be here with you all, and I love you. Amen. Praise God. I love each and every one of you. Pastor Paul and I, we love you. We're praying for you all the time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you know, and even as we're writing the books, you know, it's always with you in mind, you know. So again, I just went out, you know, thinking about these things and concepts, it always comes from, I picture the church here, you know, and different ones, different things, you know, different ages, different levels, you know, and again, you know, I'm believing that over these, that as we get these things out, that yes, we can get them into your hands. Amen. But I'm believing that they're going to touch the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because again, these things, especially when we're talking about the authority of the believer, it's vital. It's vital that the church understands these things. Hallelujah. Because again, I've been in ministry since, you know, started back in 2010. And like I said, I had the opportunity, you know, before we came here, to minister one-on-one to tens of thousands of people. And again, we were talking to people all around the world. You know, most of it was on the phone. I had some in person, but most of it was over the phone. And you would speak to people literally from all over the world. And again, they come from different denominations, different backgrounds, but there was one common theme throughout all of it. You know, maybe 1 out of 100 actually had a clue about this authority. Most of the body of Christ out there, what I found over the years, and this proved out over and over and over and over. And again, I worked with 50 other ministers doing the same thing, you know. And so again, we were, you know, able to exchange and see, and so many people are living so far below who they are and what they have in Christ. Again, it comes from ignorance. Right. And so in this, you know, the word says in Hosea 4:6, that my people, they perish because of a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. Right. And so the enemy's out there. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we looked at this in times past, but Jesus calls the devil a thief. He does not call him this big, awesome, powerful being who can just come and, you know, and whoop folks. No, He's a thief. He's a deceiver. In the Garden of Eden, he did not come and physically struggle or wrestle with Adam and Eve. He just came and just twisted a little word. He just came and deceived them, and it caused them to receive that word. But what happened was spiritually, they literally bowed the knee to Satan, and they took the authority that they had, that God had delegated to them, and they handed it over to the devil. Well, what happens is again, about 99 out of 100 believers today are still doing the exact same thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden. They're literally taking the authority, their legal rights and privileges that they have as a son and child of God, and they're just handing it back over to the devil. Well, what does that look like? Okay, very easy example. Sickness and disease, cold and flu season. I guess I'm coming down with something, you know. Oh, cold and flu season. Yeah, I know it. I make sure is your medicine cabinet stocked? Where do you get your drugs from? All of this stuff, and what are they doing? They're literally just bowing the knee, taking their authority, stepping down from that place that they have, and they're just passing it over to the devil. Cold and flu season? Yes. And so what happens is, they're, again, the devil now has the legal right to come in through the open door, which you gave him, and says, okay, cold, here we go. Flu, here you go. Cancer, whatever it is, here you go. All of these things. And again, Adam literally just opened the door to the devil in the garden and allowed him to bring that mess in. but again, it's the same old tactic. And again, it comes from a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. And so this is why this is what makes this series that we're on absolutely vital to living out the victory life. Now, again, we need to understand this. Our authority flows, number one, from our identity. We looked at that in week one of this series. And again, the first words that God spoke over man in Genesis 1:26 was what? Let us make man in our image and our likeness. He's talking about your identity. First words, identity. Before God ever gives you dominion and authority, he tells you about your identity. If you do not understand your identity, you cannot possibly operate in the God kind of authority. You will not, and again, this is where a lot of believers are also missing this. They see themselves as unrighteous. They see themselves as unworthy. Again, they have this guilt, shame, inferiority complex. And so again, they are looking at themselves in the flesh, trying to measure up to God. And they say, because, well, I don't measure up. I missed it this morning. I missed it last week. So I don't qualify, you know, to and this is why, you know, I'm not healed today. This is why I prayed and I didn't get results, because I haven't been the best. This isn't about you. This is not about your performance. It has everything to do with his performance. But again, this comes from a lack of understanding of your righteousness. And so all of these things really work hand in hand, but it's always, again, rooted in this identity, my identification with Christ. I identify with the righteousness of God. I identify with the blood of Christ. I identify with all of these things. And as I do, now I'm able to take my rightful seat at the right hand of the Father and now operate from that place. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. We're going to get right into today's message. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the image and likeness, the dominion and authority that you have given us, even as the original intent. Yes, man lost it, but one man, Jesus Christ, came and he got it all back for us. And what we receive today as the body of Christ, as you said in Romans 5:17, that we're here to rule and reign in this life, right here, right now, today, by one Jesus Christ. And so, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, we receive here today that as we are ministering this word, that we receive your breathing on this word, making it revelation to each and every one of us. We pray the eyes of our understanding open and enlightened, that we see and know the hope to which we are called in Christ Jesus to live from this victorious place. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible with you, hard copy or soft copy, same thing at home, hold it up big. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23 is our foundation text for today. And it says here in verse 16, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So again, he's saying, I'm praying this over you all the time, even daily. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of Him. He says, you know, you need some revelation knowledge so you can know how to function. Verse 18 says, I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of His calling, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Now, we already unpacked that, but we're going to really be looking at this here today. And it says, these are in accordance with the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. So it doesn't matter whether it's today or a million years from now. Hallelujah. All dominion, all rule, all authority, all of it is, praise God, has been put into Christ and all these things. Verse 22 says, and God put everything under His feet and made Him head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Say, I am the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Praise God, huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, I want to look at the title to today's message is Under My Feet. Under My Feet. Praise God. Paul says Christ, that He is the head, and he says that the church is His body. And then Paul says that all things are under His feet. Under His feet. So here's the revelation that we really want to grab hold of today. And that and again, it's just seeing this very simple context of what Paul is using this analogy as. But it's that the feet are not attached to the head. There's a body. Praise God. So again, there's a head, there's a body, and in that body there's feet. And he says all this stuff is under the feet. All authority, all dominion, all power, every name, whatever it is under His feet. And if it's under His feet and you're in the body, it's under your feet. Sickness, disease, cold, flu, all of this stuff, I'm not opening up the door. I'm not agreeing with the devil. No, I recognize that is a million miles below my feet. It is infinitely below my feet. Why in the world would I want to step down off of this throne that I'm seated in Christ with and just come down here to the level of the devil and say, yeah. And meanwhile, you actually are positioned far above all of these things in Christ. But again, this is what I talked about a moment ago. Through a lack of knowledge, through ignorance, we've got Christians, believers, born again, filled with the glory of God, having fellowship with the devil out of ignorance. They don't realize that's what they're doing. But that is exactly what's happening, exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They're literally taking this authority and just giving it over to the devil and say, you can run my life. Sickness and disease, you can run my life. Yeah. These things ought not be. these things ought not be. So again, whatever is under his feet is under our feet. Praise God. So again, this is speaking of our jurisdictional authority. Psalm 110 verse 1 declares this prophetically looking forward, speaking of Christ. He says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. God was speaking prophetically of Christ. Now, he's looking forward towards Calvary. Ephesians 1:22-23 declares that doctrinally, again, Paul is writing it looking back to Calvary. And he says again, and God put everything under his feet, past tense, and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Praise God. So again, our enemies are literally to be our footstool. You're to literally keep your foot on the devil's neck at all time. He's already defeated. Jesus already whipped him. He's lying, broke, busted in the floor. All you got to do is just walk over there and just keep your foot on his neck. Don't ever let him up. If he starts talking, just kind of twist a little bit. We looked at that here a couple of weeks ago, that word kibosh. It's still actually a word. I grew up hearing that word. I didn't actually realize that that was a Hebrew word, you know, but put the kibosh on that, they would say, you know, put an end to it. Stop that. Get under my feet. Amen. That's what we're to do with the devil. Don't ever let him up. Don't let him just talk to you and run off at the mouth. Nope. Hush that. Get out of here, Satan. Silence. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. So again, Christ, it's his victory. We're not beneath Christ. Hallelujah. We're not down here on this earth just trying to get by. You know, oh Lord, just send some power. Just help me just now. You possess all the power of Christ. You are Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to see more about that. He says that Christ is the head, but we're the body. He's the head, but we're the body. So again, the head does not exist apart from the body. What good is a head without a body anyway? It literally is assuming that a head could survive on its own apart from a body. How frustrating would that be? I want to go from here to there. Hey, can y'all come over here? Someone move my head. You know, hey, I want to eat. Someone put some food in my mouth. Hey, you know, I want to go do this. I want to go watch this. I want to go do that. Hey, can't do anything except talk, right? You need a body. So again, this is why we talk about we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are his body. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So a body, likewise, you know, cannot operate apart from the head. If you had a headless body, well, what good does that be? You don't know where to go, don't know what to say, doesn't know how to move. You need a head to tell it what to do. So again, Paul uses this, the physical body, as this analogy. You cannot have a head apart from a body. You cannot have a body apart from a head. You need two, and together you make one entire being. You make one entire being that functions. Hallelujah. So again, we don't need a body out here trying to operate independent of its head. You know, if the head is saying go left and the body goes right, well, that doesn't make sense, right? So again, we need a body that is in alignment with the head. And when we'll do that, the authority flows from that head through the body and it manifests itself in the earth. This is how the kingdom is literally manifest in the earth. Again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that you and I, we are ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador, you know, is a dignitary from a foreign nation who goes to another nation, you know, and there he's interacting with those other foreign leaders. And again, he's not there speaking on his behalf. He is only authorized to say and do what his king or his sovereign or his president has told him. Amen. That is you and I. So we're in this world, but we're not of it. I'm not here just deciding, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And well, you know, I'm going to start this business and I'm going to plant this church even. No, it's not up to me. I'm not just a headless body just deciding for myself somehow. No, I need to check in and hear from him. And whatever he tells me to do, if I'll go do it, if I'll go say it, it'll work exactly that way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. So again, Christ expresses his direction or his intention through his body. So again, head directs, the body enforces. Hallelujah. So again, Christ's victory becomes active through the believer who will take their place in him and be obedient to the word and the leading of Holy Spirit. We have to be obedient to the word and the leading of Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Be led by the Spirit. Huh. Are you being led? That's another series we're going to teach yet. We have not yet taught it. I know we've touched on it, but we're going to still have to teach it. Hallelujah. How to be led by the Spirit of God. This goes hand in hand with faith. It goes hand in hand with identity in Christ. It goes hand in hand with the authority of the believer. They all function together. Hallelujah. So again, we can't have, you know, you functioning like a headless body deciding for yourself. No, I need Christ, the head of the church, to tell me, his body, specifically me today, what I need to do, where I need to go, how I need to operate. So here, go there, minister to that person, pray this way. Amen. Hallelujah. This, thank you, Jesus. John chapter 5. This is in, not in our notes, but we're just going to turn here. John chapter 5. Again, Jesus modeled this. This is exactly how Jesus functioned, and it worked for him perfectly. He says in John 5, verse 30, he says, "I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Christ Jesus, the second Adam, the Bible calls him, functioned exactly as an ambassador in this earth representing his Father. And then again, he turns around and says, "Okay, now you are my ambassador. You're going to hear from headquarters. I'm going to show you what to do." And again, Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself. I can do nothing." So what he's even saying here, if I tried to go out here, and again, we looked at this here recently, Jesus, you know, the miracles of Jesus. Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda. At that pool, there's the five porches. It is covered with sick folks. They're trying to get to the water. Again, the angel would stir the water. So again, there was hundreds, if not a thousand or two people just piled up in there trying to get to this. We know this just from other historical accounts. This is packed. This is literally like an open air hospital, so to speak, except there's not really doctors. There's too much ministry, and they're just kind of packed in there. You know, maybe they die, you know, what have you. But again, they're going there. Jesus had to pass through all of this crowd, maybe even step over folks, and to get to this one man. To get to one man, Jesus did not go in there and just start laying hands on everybody in the hospital. In my power, be healed. In my power, be healed. In my power, be healed. He didn't go around emptying out hospitals. No. If they had come to him in faith, absolutely. Everybody that came to Jesus in faith, 100% of the time they got healed. We saw that. We saw that. And Jesus always told them, according to your faith, it was your faith, it was your faith, it was your faith, it was your faith. He did not attribute this to his power. He attributed it to their faith is what made the connection, and it received it. So again, we don't just get to go and say, this is a good idea. God, we know we want everyone to be healed, but he didn't tell you to go down here to the Ogallala Hospital and just start clearing it out. You do not have your authority will not work, because your authority only works as he leads. So again, Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." In every situation, no matter what it is, I have to seek him first. And whatever he shows me, whatever he tells me to do, that and only that is what's going to get results. Everything else is just you and your flesh. There's no grace. There's no authority. There's no power backing it. And you and your strength are going to fall pretty quick. Hallelujah. No grace, you fall on your face. In him, at his direction, it'll work every time without fail. Jesus goes on. Well, I'm going to just save that for later. Praise God. Let's keep moving. Praise God. Authority is shared because our position is shared. My authority works because it's his authority. I'm in his body. But again, it works at his direction. So again, just in this thinking about this, start thinking in every situation that you come across, first and foremost, recognize this place. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. He is the head who gives me my direction, and I am his body who carries out that order. I'm the one who carries out that word. I carry out that command, and as I do it, it works. I'm not my own. I don't get to decide. There is a king. He is the King of Kings. King of Kings. I am a king in the earth, but he is my king. And when you understand, you know, we don't live under that system, you know, today. And I think if we did, it would help us much better understand this analogy. You know, in times past, when you actually had, you know, kings who actually functioned as the reigning sovereign over their empire, whatever the king said, that is gospel, right? You wouldn't dare contradict and go against that king's order. You'll lose your head if you do. You know, you can see more about this, you know, even when you go back to King Book of Esther, you know, you see a really good example of that when they're in Babylon and Xerxes, you know, is the king. And you saw different times, you know, he'd give a decree, you know, things are happening, people are moving, people wind up dead. You know, and even she herself was not supposed to go and even present herself to him. She had to wait at when he decided, I'm going to go see Esther. I want to go visit Esther. So just these different things. Again, we're talking about that level of authority. The king decides everything over his realm. So again, people don't just rise up, you know, a mayor of a city doesn't just decide, I'm going to implement this law. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You better check with headquarters. You better check in, because you go out here and start acting and doing apart from what he told you to do. Even if you did it and you didn't check with him first, not okay. There is a chain of command. And it functioned very much like a military rank and order. Hallelujah. So again, begin thinking from your union in Christ. I'm not separated from him. I'm in his body. He is my head. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to look here now at verse 21. He says, Christ is seated far above. This is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named. This in Greek, this word for far above is the word huperano. It means far above, over, supreme in place or rank. It means unmatched in position. It is uncontested. It is unreachable. Christ, the throne of Christ, the power of Christ, it is uncontested. It's unmatched in this position. It's unreachable. The devil can't even get close to it. He can't even get close to that. Amen. So Christ's seat is unmatched, it's uncontested. And then he spelled these things out, every principality. So again, he's talking about the authority of darkness. And he starts here with principalities. This word power, principality, is arche. It means chief rulers. We're talking about literally like archangels, so to speak. You know, those who are reporting directly to Lucifer or Satan himself. And then you have the ranks that come below them, the authority or the exousia, those jurisdictional powers. And he says every power, the dunamis or the operational forces. Then we have dominion, which is kuriotes, which means the territorial spheres. And then he says every name or onoma, which means rank, title, or influence. So again, he's going through the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness. And he says, all of these things, all of these names, is far below. He says, Christ sits far above all of these things, uncontested, unreachable, unmatched in position. He is supreme in place or rank over all of this. Hallelujah. His seat is absolute. Glory to God. It cannot be touched. It cannot be altered now and throughout the ages to come. And then he says in Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Hallelujah. So and thinking about this, you and I, we are never on the same level as the devil, ever. And we're certainly not below him. We are seated far above the enemy because Christ is. So again, in every situation, you always have to take it back to your identification with Christ. Who is Christ? Where is Christ? How does Christ think? What does Christ do? Check with head. Head will tell you, hey, you are seated right here with me at the right hand of the Father now and for all eternity. This thing that you're talking about, this thing that has come, this thought that has come, is infinitely below your feet. And I already defeated that thing back 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Remember, you know, we looked at this last Sunday. We talked about that triumph procession. Jesus, he said he made a public spectacle of the devil. He paraded him. And so again, Paul was giving you that imagery. Jesus is in this chariot at the very front of a procession. And in that procession is all the kingdom of darkness, death, hell, the grave, sin, all of its effects, all the way back to Adam, all of this trash, sickness, all of it. He said that is in a parade being dragged down the street. What is he doing? Jesus is literally showing off, saying, hey, all of this stuff, it's defeated. I have took back the keys. It no longer has power. It no longer has authority over you. So again, when these things come up, it just helps. Remember this. Picture this. I'm in the chariot with Jesus. We're at the very front. I'm not just standing beside Jesus. I'm literally, he's a representative. I'm right there. When Jesus is the one riding down the street in that chariot, I'm the one riding down the street in that chariot, the very front, the very one. I'm in his body, and all of this stuff is far below, far behind, already defeated. And now Christ ascends to the right hand of the Father. I ascend to the right hand of the Father. He sits down at the Father's right hand, and there he's ruling and reigning. And he's saying, all right, you keep the enemy under your feet. You put that kibosh on him. Amen. Glory to God. So, thank you, Jesus. Again, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Again, past tense. This is, I'm not waiting to one day get the victory, you know, at his second coming. No, I'm living in the victory now. Again, the foundation really for this series is Romans 5:17. We reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I'm not waiting to reign. I'm certainly not going to be reigned on. No. I know who I am. I know where I am. And because I know this truth, I reign in this life. Satan, you are defeated. You've been dragged down the street in chains. You don't have any authority over me. You don't have any power over me. 1 Peter 5:8. Let's turn over there. 1 Peter 5:8. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be sober minded and watchful. You can't go to sleep on your faith. Cannot go to sleep on your faith. If you are not actively exercising your authority in Christ over the devil, that is an open door. You cannot be a passive Christian. You cannot be a passive believer. I mean, you can, but you're going to live in defeat if you do. You have to be sober-minded, and you have to be on watch. I have to constantly be watchful. Paul writes this over in Ephesians 5. He says, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. He says the exact same thing, being sober-minded and being constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. I need to constantly be feeding on the word. I need to be constantly checking in with headquarters. He says, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as, I have that circled in my Bible, as. He roams about as a roaring lion. Roar, roar. COVID-19, oh, cancer, oh. All of this stuff, he's roaring. He's trying to intimidate you. What is he really doing? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Oh, you don't know who you are. Oh, I'm going to roar a little bit louder. Oh, COVID? Oh, I better go do this. I better go get my shots. May devour. That's what he's really saying. He says, seeking someone whom he may, also had the underline, may devour. It's not that he just can. He does not have this authority to just come and do this. He's checking, roaring at you to see, may I? I determined, when I first heard about this 16 years ago, I determined I'm a may not from here on after. No, you may not. No, you may not. I know who I am. I know what I have, and I'm going to tell you where to go. Satan, it's written, get out of here. No. But that's why I must be sober-minded. I must be watchful. I must be renewed in the spirit of my mind, because if I just I don't really need to come to church. I don't need to read my Bible. God knows my heart. All this other stuff, what are you really doing? You're putting your guard down and you're opening the door to the devil to come in and very subtly put this thing on you. Next thing praise God. May not devour. He may not devour. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we are seated far above the devil because Christ is seated far above all of these things, not just here and now, but he says for all of eternity, you and I are seated in Christ. So our authority flows from Christ's seat, not our effort. Again, we're not, when we come across these things, and here's the thing, maybe you're in the middle of a fight right now. Maybe things have already happened. You're already dealing with cancer. You already have a terminal diagnosis. You already are in the middle of an addiction. Well, okay. Right now, you can enforce that victory and put the devil on the run. Now, it's a whole lot easier if you'll just keep the door shut to him in the first place. If you have a mighty fortress, you have a big castle and you have a moat and the drawbridge is up, and you don't let that devil in, it's going to be real hard for him to get in. But once he's on the inside, you got to fight on your hands. Amen. But greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. Praise God. So again, but we're not fighting, from this place of I'm in the middle of it. I'm at, and the devil's right here and I'm right here. And it feels like maybe he's even winning. No, we need to see ourselves stop all this and just meditate on who I am and where I am. I am seated far above. So again, just you have to take time to meditate the word. Allow this to become a reality, a revelation in your own life, because only then can you wage a good warfare. As long as I'm just in this struggle back and forth, trying to arm wrestle the devil here, I'm staying in his realm. And as long as I'm down here, he can keep me defeated. No, just step back. And this can change. This can change in a moment. This can change in an afternoon. But spend time to really see who you are in Christ. See that all this stuff is under your feet. So if I'm in the middle of something, sickness and disease, I need to probably turn over here and see Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse. So what was under that curse? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through, I believe, about 61, 62 verses. All of that stuff is the curse. But I believe around 61, he says every sickness, every disease, all those named, even those that are not named, it was under the curse. He says Jesus in Galatians 3:13, he became a curse. Amen. He became a curse. Praise God. He says so that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. That divine exchange in it, all of this stuff was under the curse. So again, I need to see that. Okay. That was under the curse. That was dragged down the street. It was way back over here, being led captive, paraded before everyone to see. I need to see this thing that way. And then I need to see, okay, I'm riding in here at the front of the chariot. And then I need to see Christ rose out of the grave, and then he ascends, and then I'm ascending right there with him, and now I'm seated in his seat. Oh, now I've got the right perspective. Now that I've got the right perspective, I know how to deal with this thing and keep it in its proper place. Get out of here. Get behind me. Satan, it is written. I'm not wrestling. I'm not struggling. I'm not hoping maybe this might work. I know. So again, this goes back to why Paul prayed this. He says, I pray, verse 16, 17. I've not stopped giving thanks. I've not stopped praying for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You don't need information. You need revelation. Faith is of the heart, not the head. He says, this has to be revealed, dropped down into your spirit, man, so you can write, I know. And I over the years, people have finally got a hold of things, and then all of a sudden they have an awakening. 20 years later down the road, they have this epiphany. The light comes on and say, wait a minute, what have I been putting up with all these years? They were had information, but they did not have revelation. You need revelation. So again, this is why Paul, and again, we need to be praying this every single day, because you will never fully arrive, but we need to see these things. He says, again, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of him, I'm asking that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling, the glorious inheritance in the saints. We've not begun to scratch the surface of understanding the glorious inheritance in us, the glory that is in us, the glory. So again, if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, his glory is my glory. We share in the glory. Do we have any idea of what that really looks like? Verse 19, and the surpassing greatness of his power who believe. I am a believer. I need to understand and know the greatness of this power. The greatness of this power. Why? So that I can keep all this other stuff way below my feet, far below my feet. Glory to God. And again, he goes on to even describe this, the greatness of his power who believe, and these are in accordance or even as the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The same power that reached into hell and rose Christ up out of that grave is the same resurrection power that got you born again and raised you up with Christ and seated you right along with him. Everything God did for or in Christ was for you and I. He didn't do it for Jesus. Jesus came that he might do it for us as our representative. So everything you see that God did in Christ, he was doing it for you and I. And it was a perfect work, not a someday work. It's a right here, right now work that we're to be participating in. But we have to see it. We have to know it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Where were we? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, victory is mine. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 1:22, God put everything under his feet. This Greek word for everything is the word pause, or it also translates plural form panta, which means all things. Everyone, entirely, every part that makes up a whole. Every part that makes up a whole. So again, he goes on to list these things out. Every power, every force, every name, every spiritual influence, every sickness, every disease, every addiction, whatever it is, all of it, everything, the entire part of all of this stuff, amen, he says it is under his feet. Glory to God, without exception. Everything that exists, everything that has ever been created, praise God, is under his feet. There is nothing that is equal to the power of Christ. There is nothing that is equal to the throne of God. God's not in competition with anybody. Everything else is far below. And that's where you and I sit today, positionally in Christ. Glory to God. Never treat anything you're coming across as an exception. People, you know, and I've heard this before. They try to separate, you know, Christ. They try to separate this realm from this natural realm. Well, you know, I understand all that. You know, but this is a natural problem. This is a health problem. This is a situation over here. And again, they're separating their lives, you know, from Christ. It's like, no, you don't understand. All of this is about who you are in Christ. Again, we don't not need to separate and say, you know what? I know Christ sits up here, but I in this natural realm and in this body, I live here. And I know this, but again, they're not reconciling the two. They don't see themselves in Christ. They see themselves as Christ is over here and I'm over here. And so again, they're allowing the enemy to continue to rule and reign. So again, we never treat certain battles or certain situations as any exception. We are in Christ. We are his body. He is our head. We are seated with him in heavenly places. Everything belongs under his feet. Amen. There is nothing that rises above us. There's nothing that is equal to us or rises above us in Christ. But we have to know this. We have to see it so we can now declare it and speak to it and put that kibosh on it and keep it in its place. Amen. This in verse 23, he says, the church, his body, is the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's you and I. We are the church. We are his body. He says, this is the fullness of him who fills all in all. The body fills all in all, Christ in us. This word for fullness is the word pleroma. It means fullness, completeness, abundance, that which fills or with which a thing is filled. Christ has filled us to the full of himself. We, the church, are the fullness of Christ, filling all in all. We, the church, his body, we are the fullness of Christ. Again, the head is not complete without a body. The head is not complete without the body. That's why he says, again, he's using this physical body as an analogy to try to describe to you. The church, his body, is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ fills his body with his same life, his same authority, his same position, and all of this is deposited into you at the moment of the new birth. You were a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You don't need to develop, you know, 20, 30, 40 years before you can start operating in authority and acting like an ambassador. That was yours at that very moment of the new birth. Now, you needed to awaken to this. You need to receive revelation of it, but all of it became yours at the moment of the new birth. Praise God. So again, the most important thing you can tell somebody in this earth, you know, is number one, get saved. And after they get saved, the most important thing you can tell that man is renew your mind. Renew your mind, renew your mind, renew your mind. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. And pray this every day, that the eyes of my understanding be open and enlightened. I'll see and know the hope to which I'm called in Christ Jesus. Amen. I need to know these things so that I can reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Believers, we enforce what the head has already conquered. We stand where he stands. We speak from where he sits. Praise God. We literally share a voice. He speaks, you know, again, Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Jesus, we read that a moment ago in John 5:30. I don't do this. I judge as I hear from him. What he tells me to do, I do. When you back up there also, he says, He says, I decide and I give judgment as I judge, as the Father has given me that. I'm stumbling over that. I need to just turn back over here. Thank you, Jesus. John 5, verse 19 and then 30. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, likewise the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he does. Praise God. Verse 30, he says, I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I judge, I declare, I decree, I do this, I do that, because the Father told me exactly what to do, and then I went and did it. Glory to God. This is how it works for you and I. We speak from where he sits. It is a shared voice. Jesus, Son of God, in this earth was operating in a shared voice. What do we say? He was in perfect alignment with the Father. I'm not acting out of order. I'm not speaking out of turn. As I heard from him, as he showed me what to do, I did it, I said it, and I got 100% results. We operated in perfect harmony and perfect unity. Again, head and a body. They need to be operating in perfect harmony and perfect unity, right? If we have a head give a command and then your arm does something totally different, we got major issues, right? You got a serious problem on your hands. But really, that's what's happening throughout the body of Christ by and large. The majority of it, the head is speaking, the head is speaking, the head is speaking, and the body's not even listening, not even checking in. They're just out here doing whatever and getting disastrous results. Those maze, and then they're getting devoured. And again, they're not discovering what the plan of God is for the life, much less fulfilling it. Thank you, Lord. Now, John 14. John 14:12-14, Jesus says again, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works which I am doing. Again, don't be intimidated by the magnitude of the miracles and the work and all this stuff. It wasn't Jesus. These things did not work just because he's Jesus. It works because he is hearing from the Father and acting in obedience to do exactly what the Father showed him. And again, he says it here, and again, verse 12, whoever, not the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, not the fivefold ministry, not the mature, he says, whosoever will believe in me will also do the works that I am doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Again, the head initiates the works. Every act of authority, every miracle, every expression of dominion begins in him. Jesus modeled it for us, and then he said, you're going to go do the exact same thing, but here's the you're going to do it the exact same way. And again, it wasn't me, no more than it's you. It's the Father through his word who's doing that work. So again, it doesn't matter whether we're raising the dead, speaking to a mountain, or laying hands on the flu. Doesn't make any difference. It's none of it's you anyway. All of it is the word of God going somewhere to happen. And the word is big enough and strong enough to fight its own fight. It is the word that is upholding the entire universe to this day. Hebrews 1:3. Hallelujah. So again, believers, we do not create our own mission. Praise God. We, what Christ started, amen, the body continues. What Christ started in his first 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, we, his body, continue the same source, the same authority, and now we're going in his name. When you go through the book of Acts, we did this at the beginning of last year. We taught a series on the name of Jesus. And we went through specifically the book of Acts. We looked at every single instance of where the believers were going out and ministering, and specifically where they were using the name. Hallelujah. They were operating and doing these things exactly the same way that Jesus did. They heard where to go here, go there. You know, Paul wrote about this, you know, said, actually it was Luke who wrote about Paul. You know, but he says at one point, you know, Paul was trying to go over into Asia, but he says the Spirit forbade him. Don't do it. Don't go there. Well, they need the gospel. I need to go over there. They even invited or what have you. He says, no, you need to go over here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So again, what Christ started, the body continues. This is the same source, the same authority. His life flows through his body, enabling what he commands. So truly, you and I, we are the hands, the feet, and we are the mouthpiece of Jesus into this earth. When God wants something done in this earth, he's going to do it through you and I, the man who has the authority in the earth to actually act and to do. Thank you, Jesus. You can find this illustration in John 15, but the branch and the vine carries the life. So again, you talk about a vineyard, you have a root, which is the Father. You have the vine or the trunk of a tree, for example, which is Christ Jesus. And then you have branches. You and I are the branches. Now again, just thinking about this, where is fruit born? Do you see fruit born on the root? Do you see fruit born on the vine or on the trunk? No, you see fruit born on branches. We and I are branches. We are the ones who are out here bearing and producing the fruit in the earth. But again, it's because we're tapped into the source. I'm tapped into the vine, which is tapped into the root. Glory to God. And this is how it all flows. So again, the vine carries his life. The branches carry out or they produce the fruit. The fruit is not separate from the vine. It is the vine expressing itself through those branches. So again, Christ is the vine. We are the branch. His victory becomes visible through our enforcement. Through our enforcement. Glory to God. So again, let his authority shape our words. We're to speak as his branch, not as some disconnected limb. I can't just go out here and come up with my own idea and declare and decree and declare and decree if I have not heard from him. If you do, it will not work. You are disconnected. You're cut off. The life is not flowing through you. There's no authority flowing through you. You will not get the results. Hallelujah. So again, his victory is to govern our every response. In every situation, I'm to look to Christ. This thought came. This attack came. And again, maybe you're in the middle of a storm. I need to just tune in right now, and I need to hear from headquarters, Lord, I see you've already won the victory over this thing. I'm here today, and I repent for all of the past. I repent for acting out on my own as a disconnected branch, but I'm coming to you, and I'm getting in union with you right now. And whatever you tell me to do, however you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I purpose right now to do whatever you say do, go where you say go, sow where you say sow, speak what you say speak. Amen. And if you'll do it, you can get free. You can get free of every addiction, every soul tie, every sickness, every disease, poverty, and lack that have been ruling your life for all this time. God will give you strategies. He'll give you ideas. He'll show you exactly how to prosper and how to increase his way. No toil. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So here, as we close today, we need to walk in what is under our feet. How do we do this? Number one, see yourself as the body joined to the head, not separate from him. See your seat as his seat, which is a shared place. I share in the seat of Christ as the body of Christ. You don't just have a head sitting on that seat. There's the body. There's an entire body, head, body, feet, all sitting on that throne. You and I are right there. Amen. Your stance is his stance. Amen. I act and I function in absolute certainty, not desperation, not in hoping. I speak from my seat, the seat of Christ. I do not speak from fear. I do not speak from emotion. I'm not speaking, trying and hoping maybe I can claw my way up out of the pit. No, I'm already seated infinitely above all of this stuff, and I'm speaking from that place, from that revelation of that place. Furthermore, we resist the devil from our position. This thought came, this attack came, this happened, that happened. No, I resist from my position. Again, I'm not getting down off my throne. I'm not going back down here and wallowing around in the mud with the devil. No, James 4:7, submit to God, submit to the authority of the head. Submit to the finished works of Christ. Submit to this triumphant possession you've already seen being dragged through the street. Submit to the finality of this. By his stripes, you were healed. I submit to that. He says, and again, James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil. You resist from your seat of authority. Just like Jesus, Satan, it is written, get behind me. Devil, get, and the devil got, right? That's again, you resist from your seat of authority, not out here trying to wrestle and, oh, yeah, you know, this bill came due and I just don't know what we're going to do. No, get up from there and go take your seat in Christ. My God meets all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You literally are sitting in abundance. Have you read about heaven? In the back of the book in Revelation, it's an awesome place, streets of gold. You know, walls are made up of all type of precious jewels. The gate is 100-foot pearl. 100-foot pearl is the gate. This is where you're sitting. He says, according to these riches in glory, I'll meet all your needs. Now, why do you want to get out here and try to get 3 jobs and I can't come to church because I got to work and all, and I got to, you know, I got to make a living? No. You need to tune into the head. You need to tune into headquarters, and he'll teach you how to profit. He'll teach you how to do things his way. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. He adds no sorrow, and neither will all of your toil increase even a little bit. You don't need to toil for this. This is sweatless victory as it was in the garden. Amen. Now, you have an assignment. Hallelujah, but I'm your source. Speak from your seat. Again, not from stress, fear, or emotion. We resist from our position, and ultimately we are to enforce what Christ has already conquered. We enforce, again, what Christ has already conquered and led in triumph down the street. We are never trying to overcome. I'm not trying to get victory. I'm not, again, maybe you're in the middle of something. But you need to understand, I'm not out here trying to get, and this is where we miss it so much. You're in the middle of something, and maybe you're just hearing this for the first time. You are not in this place of, I am the sick, and I need to, and I just got to figure out how to get healed. Oh, God, no, you are healed. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are you in this world, not trying to be. He is healed. He is victorious, and he is far above all this other stuff. He already defeated it. We have to take on this identity and say, you know what? I choose to agree with God. I know this is true in my natural body. I understand that. And I'm not denying that it actually exists, but I am absolutely from my seat of authority to denying its right to exist. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to enforce this victory. I'm going to keep that devil under my foot. I'm putting a kibosh on him from this day forward. And it's just a matter of time before you'll see the full manifestation of it, whatever it is. Praise God. And now we just spend time praising and thanking God. Oh, Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you that I am the redeemed in Christ. I want to thank you. I am the blessed in Christ. I want to thank you that all my needs are met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to thank you that I am a child of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm always in the right place at the right time with the right people, doing the right things out of the right heart as you lead me. And I thank you, Lord, according to 2 Corinthians 2:14, that you always lead me in triumph. In Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's declare this together. I am his body. I share his seat. I share his dominion. Everything under his feet is under my feet. I stand where he stands. I reign where he reigns. I enforce what he conquered. I walk in his fullness, expressed through my life. I am seated. I am authorized. I am established. I reign in this life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I hope and pray that you got something out of that today. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to give us an opportunity here to rule and reign for those of you that maybe not have yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, and maybe you've not yet stepped into that authority. The Word says in Romans 10:13 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. And in that moment of time, as you do, you are a new creation in Christ. You are authorized to rule and reign and to live in victory. So let's call on the name of the Lord together. Those of you in the room, those of you watching, you've got to speak it out of your mouth. He's backing up there in Romans 10:9-10. He says, if you'll believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth, amen, that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You've got to believe it, but you've got to say it. So let's all pray this. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, and that you sent him to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, I confess you now as my Savior and as my Lord. Take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. Amen. Praise God. We believe according to Scripture that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God, and you are authorized from this moment forward to rule and reign in this life right now today through the one man, Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. Thank you for coming out here today on Wednesday. Again, we're going to have our fellowship dinner, 6 o'clock, no Friday prayer this Friday. And then next Sunday, we'll be back here. Service is at 10 o'clock. In the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.